Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our epistle reading in Philippians chapter 3. On every project, in every game, it seems like there comes a critical moment. Critical moment when you have to bear down and you have to press ahead. So when I was coaching, I remember bringing my boys together, and I usually identified that critical point in the game right after we had just scored some runs. They're feeling pretty good about themselves, maybe even ready to be a little bit complacent, to rest on their laurels of what had just happened. And so I brought them together, and I just kind of raised their awareness and said, what you did is great, but there's a lot of game left. Let's go out, let's play defense, let's lock in, let's give our attention to this. Let's press on all the way to the end of the game. And you see, that's kind of what the Apostle Paul is talking about in our text for today. Let me read verse 12 again for you. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. You see, Paul is talking to those who are Christians already, those who have received salvation, those who have the righteousness of Christ given to them. But now he says, it's not time to rest on our laurels. It's not time to be complacent. But we need to press on. There's still a lot more life that's left. We have not yet reached the goal of eternal life. So let's press on. In the season of Lent, we journey with Jesus, and we see him doing just that, that he is pressing on towards the goal, pressing on. And we journey with him, and we learn that this is part of our lives as well, to press on all the way to the end. One of the characteristics then of the Christian life is just that. It's pressing on. And that's not to say that that's easy. And it's not to say that we always do that, because we know that those are two things that we struggle with. The Christian life can be difficult, and we are not always diligent. A number of years ago, there was a survey that was taken of Northeasterners. It was about religion. What do you see as most important? It was interesting the way it came out. Most said that the first priority was worship. And after that came growth in faith. Now, I'm not going to say anything negative about worship. We all know how important that is. But if worship doesn't lead to growth in faith, you know, what's the point? So really what God wants is for us to grow in faith, and that is of great importance. One night there was a young boy, and Mom had just tucked him into bed, and she had left, and soon afterwards she heard a thud. He had fallen out of bed, so she rushed back in, and she said, oh, what happened? And the boy, with a little bit of tears in his eyes, said, I think I stayed too close to where I got in. You see, maybe that's part of the problem that we experience as well. If we stay too close to the place where we got in. The Apostle Paul encourages us to press on. Not just to receive that gift from God and stay there, but use it. What does it mean to use it, to be active in it, to press on? Paul's own life, his missionary journeys, demonstrate to us that pressing on. Right? Think about his life. He went from city to city to city. He didn't have any permanent home. And as he went, sometimes he was rejected and persecuted and even thrown in prison. There were times when he was beaten or stoned, and yet Paul continued to press on. If one town didn't receive him, he would go on to the next, sometimes leaving behind Christians, a small church, small but established church behind. Paul pressed on. There's an urgency to this, Paul says. And that's where this word pressing on comes from. It comes from the sports world. It's talking about runners in a race, particularly a sprinter, you know, who's giving every ounce of energy for that short period of time until they get to the end. And particularly as they get towards the tape, they're straining head, leaning into it. And that's the picture that Paul wants to leave with us about pressing on, that urgency. So we ask ourselves, do we see some of that in our lives? Do we see the importance of the Christian life and to press on as we live it? There's indeed good reason for this. It's kind of interesting as we look at our text for today, you almost see two things that are almost contradictory. You know, what does God do and what do we do? Well, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that salvation is God's work. And that he does that for us, that's in verse 9 of our text for today. It says, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So you see, this righteousness is described in three ways, right? First of all, it's not our own. It doesn't come from us. It's not what we create or produce or accomplish. So it doesn't originate from within us. It's not our own. But rather, secondly, it's from God. So it's outside of us, this righteousness of God that is gained by Christ and his crucifixion and his resurrection. And it's given to us, so we call it an alien righteousness, a righteousness that comes from outside of us. And the third thing, it is received by faith. Faith is that which takes hold of it and makes it ours. So Paul is talking about this gift of God to us, of the righteousness of Christ. But then he goes on and he says, all right, now there's a part that you play in this as well. And your part is to press on. Again, not resting on your laurels, the gift that has been given to you, so that you get it and you just say, I don't have to do anything now. No, Paul says just the opposite. That we press on. We press on to know Christ. And so we ask, how do we do that? Well, that's what verses 13 and 14 are all about. Paul says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we start with forgetting what is behind. That's an important part of this. There's two ways that we do that. First, we forget those accomplishments, all right? Not that you scrub your memory of anything that you've ever done and any kind of accolade that you've ever have. No, that's not the point. You know, you've done things, you've earned things, and those things are important. We celebrate those. However, Paul is saying, but that doesn't count towards your salvation. That's what he means by forgetting what is past. You know, he wrote about that, about himself, the verses that came immediately before our text for today. If anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, well, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. You see, Paul has quite a resume, doesn't he? And if anybody looked at that, they'd say, wow, he's quite accomplished. You know, he's got the pedigree. He's got the degrees. and he's been successful in practice in what he's done. He's got it all. You know, he's the example. But Paul says when it comes to salvation, it doesn't mean anything at all. Verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. You see what he's saying there? He says, there's two ways. You can either rest on the things that you've done, you've accomplished, or you can rest in Christ. He says, knowing Christ is so wonderful and so important that I'm willing to forget the rest. You know, that doesn't count anything with my relationship with God. I just rest totally in Christ. So Paul says, first thing we do is we forget, you know, those accomplishments. Secondly, we also need to forget our sins, right? That's an important part of this as well, because our accomplishments don't count for us. And guess what? In Christ, our sins don't count against us either. So we forget our sins. Paul needed to do that. He was a persecutor of the church. He threw Christians in prison. He even put some of them to death. I'm sure that weighed pretty heavily upon him when he came to faith in Christ. That had to be a really heavy burden to bear. But Christ assured him that he was forgiven. Forget what is behind. I'm not going to count that against you. Let's go on. So that's where we start. We forget what is past. Guilt doesn't help, right? Being motivated by guilt, it sometimes works. Well, you know, you've experienced it. You've done it to others too, right? We can motivate with guilt. But it's not a good motivator. It's not one that lasts. It's not one that produces positive kind of responses. Okay. So we put the guilt behind. We're forgiven. And we operate in that. So we put those things behind, and then we strain towards what is ahead. And what's ahead? Well, this is the knowing Christ that Paul talks about. You know, verse 8, knowing Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what's really important. Knowing Christ means, of course, being in the Word. That's how we know God. That's how he reveals himself to us. We need to know the Bible stories. We need to know about the events of Christ's life. But knowing Christ is more than that. I mean, you know, there is the intellectual knowing, but there's also the knowing that's here in the heart. You know, we got to move those 18 inches from here to here. And that happens not just from knowing the facts of the story, but engaging in the stories in the Word. Not just what is it, but what does it mean? What does it mean for me? You see, as we engage in that, we know Christ. We can talk about it in terms of the three T's. Time, talk, and trust. You know, time. If you want to know somebody, you got to spend time with them, right? You're going to be friends with somebody. You got to be there. So if we're going to know Christ, got to dedicate time to that, to being in his Word. Talk, you know, it's not just being there, but, you know, relationships are about talking, communicating. So Christ talks to us through his Word. We talk to him through prayer, meditation. So as you're reading the Word, you begin to talk to him about it. You can say thank you for that wonderful Word of grace and forgiveness, of revealing yourself to me. You can talk to him about, oh, that wasn't so good. Yeah, I've seen some things about myself. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Or, man, that's hard. You want me to do what? I don't know that I can do that. you talk to him. And what it's doing is the word's engaging you. And through that, the relationship builds of trust. And that's the third thing, of trust. And as you get to know somebody, as you believe in him, you trust them. That's what we're doing with Christ. And we begin to take on the likeness of Christ. Live the way that he lived. Think the way that he thinks. And that begins to come out in the things that we do in our lives of obedience to him and following his ways and doing his things. You see, and this is what Paul is talking about when he's talking about pressing on. You know, that there's a willingness for us to live for God, to care for others, to show our faith in the way that we live. This is what Paul's talking about when he's talking about pressing on. And so there are two things in this text. There's what God does and there's what we do. God gives us the righteousness from him. And then we're called to press on. Press on in knowing Christ. Forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.